This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Kenny Omega, and you are listening to the New Japan Purecast. You fools!
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is a Sunday, October 16th, at the time that we are recording this, and Damon, we have got a lot to talk about today. We're going to give our thoughts on last Monday's big King of Pro Wrestling event, which is being widely considered as a show of the year candidate. We've got to get into some power struggle talk. We've got some matches announced for that card, as well as next week's Road 2 show, which is going to feature the start of the Super Junior Tag Tournament. So we've got a stacked card for you here today.
Yeah, we do. And we started off right before we hit the record button. We made a seal joke, which actually made me spit out my Powerade all over my desk that I'm cleaning up right now. Colin has the wit about him today, making reference to the animal as well as the pop singer.
Well, you were clapping. And
I was clapping.
It reminded me of a seal.
Right. And then I sang A Kiss from a Rose. Is it A Kiss from a Rose? Is that the name of the song?
I think so.
From one of the Batman movies. That's how we're starting off today's show, kids, with a seal reference.
And wait.
Well,
happy birthday to Kenny Omega. He turns 33 years old today at the time that we're recording this. So I just got to get that out there.
What, are you invited to the party or something? We're giving shout-outs. We're giving birthday shout-outs.
We are.
All right.
Well, what a year that this guy's been having.
Let me ask you right out the gate. He's my wrestler of the year.
My wrestler of the year is probably Naito.
I think Omega's had a better year than Naito.
You could argue that, but as far as reactions go, at least from my observations, Naito is still getting the biggest reactions from the crowd.
Best matches, consistently having the best matches. He's being jockeyed and put in a position of great strength with New Japan. Did you read that in the Observer?
In
Dave
I did.
Meltzer's Wrestling Observer newsletter? What's the line? The line that he wrote. I have it in front of me here. Omega, I'm going to quote this if you don't mind. Omega, comma, who is scheduled to be pushed as the top guy in the company next year, comma, blah, 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 blah. How about that line?
Can you believe that we're talking about the same guy who the past 2 years at Wrestle Kingdom has been in junior heavyweight singles matches?
You know, guys graduate, you know, and I don't want to say graduate, but guys move up, you know, good juniors move up to, you know, great heavyweights.
Like Nakanishi.
like many pro wrestlers. The thing that I find amazing is that, you know, if you talk about those dome shows, last year against Kushida, it was a good match, right? It wasn't a blowaway match.
It was good.
It was good. And then, you know, years prior, he's, you know,
Taguchi.
Yeah, he's like shoving broomsticks up people's asses and aerosol canning and goofy and shenanigans and, you know. So to me, the course that he has taken when it started off at that New Year Dash show that we all raved about, and then, you know, moved on throughout the year, and of course the G1 and this King of Pro Wrestling show, I'm gonna be honest, I think Kenny Omega, I don't want to say blows away Naito, but I think it's a sizable distance, and I'll be surprised not surprised. I'm curious is the word. I'm looking forward to seeing those year-end awards because they're right around the corner, Colin.
I was just thinking about them today.
Yeah, I was thinking about them like, who the fuck's going to be counting this shit? That's what I was thinking of. Because I remember last year, like, I had my assistant actually do that, and I don't have her anymore. So I got to figure something out. But yeah.
Just get your wife to do it.
She'll literally spit in my face and walk out the door.
She'll be like Naito. She'll spit right in your face.
Exactly. Yes. And then she'll raise her arm in the air. It'll be amazing. She'll wear this goofy trucker hat. She'll flat iron her hair. It'll be amazing. Listen, I think it's a two-pony race, right? I think it's a Kenny Omega-Naito match. And I think third in that consideration for Wrestler of the Year would be
Ishii.
I would probably, yeah, you know what? He's okay. I was going to say he's a big match guy, but what has he done through the remainder of the year? But you know what? Every big match, and even G1, he's got to be in the talk. He's got to be in the conversation. I personally was going to go Okada.
Okay.
I think Okada's got to be in that mix.
That's fair.
But I would not argue. I would not argue an Ishii in there. I would not argue an Ishii in there. So I think, okay, so we'll call off a four-horse race.
Well, and I think you have to throw Tanahashi in there.
I consider myself a bit of a fan of Hiroshi Tanahashi.
You've got your towel.
I got my towel, my sweat dripped towel. I'm a walls literally. I mean, how many pictures? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got a lot of Tanahashi pictures. I got a picture of Tanahashi shirtless on my desk, right next to Riki Choshu, as a matter of fact. Listen, I'm a fan, but I don't think he's. And even though he had, you know, what I consider I consider it the greatest match of my lifetime, his Tokyo Dome performance. And he's had very good matches. I don't know. I just can't. I just think this year, Omega, Naito, and then the second level of Okada and Ishii. And then I guess Tanahashi you can put in that mix.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you want to just for a moment peel back the curtain, and we're talking about the five New Japan superstars that are going to be in the Wrestler of the Year category at the the second annual PuroCast Year End Awards. How about that? Mm-hmm. I think if I was going to nail it down to five, and you know, if there are any listeners who disagree with any of these choices, please let us know.
Yeah, later, because you'll have a chance to vote. Don't bother us now with this.
Yeah, but I'm putting Kenny Omega.
Okay.
Tetsuya Naito.
Okay.
Kazuchika Okada.
Okay.
Tomohiro Ishii.
Okay.
And Hiroshi Tanahashi. Who else would you stick in that category? I mean, there's only five nominees here.
How about Katsuyori Shibata?
Shibata, would I put him in Wrestler of the Year? I'm a big Shibata fan, but I don't know if I'd go so far as to stick him in Wrestler of the Year. I really don't.
Okay. What's holding him back? Certainly not match quality, is it?
As far as memorable matches from this past year, I think that the year prior, 2015, I think he had a better 2015 as far as memorable matches. I mean, that match that he had with Ibushi at the G1, I don't know. I don't know about Shibata this year.
Okay. All right. I think he'll pick up votes. I think this is going to be a very tough year, though. How about Michael Elgin?
Michael Elgin for Wrestler of the Year? No.
No. Okay. How about...
And I like Michael Elgin. Don't get me wrong.
All right. That's fair. I mean, listen. Wrestler of the Year is, you know, not everybody can be Wrestler of the Year. And not everybody can be nominated, right? I mean, there's got to be a line in the sand, so to speak. How about Tongaroa? No? Is it Roa or Loa?
It is Tonga Loa. I was going to say, I think he might be a write-in candidate for a lot of people.
Okay. How about Red Death Mask? No?
Red Death Mask, a.k.a. Juice Robinson.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, obviously, we're going to start here today. We're going to start talking about the King of Pro Wrestling show, which was held last week. You want to jump right in? And let me just set a stage first. First, let's talk business, if we will.
You want to talk the paid gate for this show?
Give me the paid gate. You got the paid gate in front of you?
Yeah, I believe that it is 9,671.
Okay, that's a big number, right? That's a solid number. Correct me if I'm wrong, Colin, but it was reported biggest paid attendance in Sumo Hall.
Yep.
Since what? 2012, I read, right?
Yes.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
And you know, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about, you know, how it was just what, two shows ago, we're talking about how Omega and Yoshihashi had a lot of struggle, not a power struggle, but a lot of struggle drawing people for that gate. This one, this is a nice 9,000, in this day and age, 9,500 fans. That's great.
It's nothing to sneeze at.
That's great. That's a great number. And here's the thing, too. To me, it felt like this was a walk-up crowd, right? I don't know, because I saw pictures. You know how I tweeted before when I went to G1, and then I would tweet out I would go to the box office, and they would have a sign, and they would have the tickets and the availability of tickets. So they would have the different price levels, and it would be a red line that goes across it to kind of indicate there ain't no more of these tickets left, right? And then if it's everything sold out, it's sold out. So I saw a picture, I believe it was that day, where they had that same sign. Somebody took a snapshot of it, and there were no lines being crossed out. So there were seats available in every price range. So to me, this had to have been, and it was a holiday, if I'm not mistaken. It was a holiday. This was a huge walk-up event.
They celebrate Columbus Day in Japan?
I hope. I don't think so. I don't think that's it. But they have lots of. I don't want to say random holidays, but they have lots of
Leif Erikson Day,
yeah, Arbor Day, Hiroshi Tanahashi Day.
Sure.
But I was there actually when I was there during G1. No, was it during G1? No, it wasn't during G1. It was during.
You can't even remember. You've been there so many times.
You know, I'm a jet setter. It was during, what was it? In Fukuoka. What's the show down there? Dantaku.
Yes. Right. In May.
So yes, they have this thing called Kids Day or Kids Week, or they celebrate kids. Right. And everybody has like flies these, flags outside but they're like wind socks. And they're like carp. Why am I telling this story?
Carp.
I'm telling the story. it was because they celebrate. They have lots of little these holidays, and they had that was like Dantaku is an actual holiday, if I'm not mistaken. That's the whole purpose. It's like the wrestling show is around this whole festival thing in Fukuoka. They have this huge parade. Yeah, so you're learning something here on the Pierrot Cast. So it's like a whole big festival down there, and they have a show that you know kind of revolves around that. Actually, the parade was actually quite amazing. Do you like parades?
I absolutely loathe
me
parades.
Too. Oh, I fucking hate them. Oh, aren't they the worst? Ugh, they stink.
I don't get the point.
Everybody's going to celebrate their everything, right? So you're going to fire. I just hate them. But this parade was outstanding. I mean, these people like really put some time and effort into this fucking shit. It was choreographed, and it was like, you know what it was like? It was like, you know how like you think every parade should be like Ferris Bueller's Day Off when they're in Chicago?
And they're dancing to the Beatles.
Right. And everybody's just dancing around, confetti everywhere.
Shake it up, baby.
Yeah, I mean, that's how parades should be, but they aren't. But here it was. I stayed one night in this real, I don't want to say shitty hotel, but it was like I could stretch out my arms and touch both walls. That's no joke. That's no joke. But I had to go there because I don't know.
Well, you do have a large wingspan.
I do have a fur.
You're like Michael Phelps.
I'm like Magic Johnson. minus the terrible talk show, except listeners of the show. So
I think the point that you're trying to make, though, is that this show took place on a holiday.
It did.
And it did the best buy rate since 2012.
Well, yeah, the best attendance, paid attendance.
Yeah, the best paid attendance. And it's funny you should mention walk-ups, because I listened to the English feed with our buddy Kevin Kelly and King.
Did we get mentioned?
Yeah, at the very end, actually.
Did we?
Yep. He thanked us.
Oh, that's nice of him, because I was about ready to say the English commentary stuck. He doesn't get mentioned once.
Kevin Kelly is always a gentleman, always gives us a shout out at least once during the show. But anyway, during the pre-show, during the Tiger Mask W versus Red Death Mask, they were mentioning how people were still walking up and buying tickets.
Oh, okay. So there you go. Listen, that's great news. And I also saw something else online, Colin Miller, and it's in reference to, you know, of these big shows that have been during the calendar year this year, you know, the biggest gates, I think it was, the number was 4 out of 5 were Okada headline shows, right? So, yeah.
That's good news.
New Japan has drawn 5 9,000-plus shows this year, and Okada main evented 4 of them. And that was from, I believe, one of our a comment made by one of our good friends, Evan Deadly Sins.
Yes.
Are you familiar with Evan Deadly Sins?
Yeah,
he's one of the moderators.
I was going to say, he often posts the PuroCast on the NJPW subreddit.
That is correct, because Colin's too lazy to do it. No.
Now he's going back to me.
Because you start something. And then if it doesn't happen again, because I don't do it, right? Like everything that happens with this show is you, right?
Yeah, show up.
Right. Exactly. I'm the star. I come in, I pop the house, right? And I'm out the door. Grab my bags and go. No, in all seriousness. I mean, everything this show, you know, all the uploading and the social media and the promotion, and it's all you. Again, Okada. 5 out of 4. So that was a great point by that Evan Deadly Sins. Good job by him. Good pro wrestling fan there. But yeah, this is good news, Colin, right?
Yeah, this is great news, considering, you know, I've been kind of beating them this past year, kind of, you know, talking about how the loss of Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles, you know, how many times have I said that this past year? That
250,000, I believe, is the count.
At least.
Right.
At least. And from the sounds of this paid gate, business is thriving.
Well, see, it's a big, I think it's thriving. I don't want to say it's just thriving in Tokyo, but I don't know. It's very. I think it's very telling who people are willing to spend their hard-earned cash on and for, right? And I think it goes back to the fact that, unfortunately, you can't just flick a switch and make a star and expect somebody to be able to headline a building. And Yoshihashi and Kenny Omega, that match wasn't something that people were going to fork over their hard-earned money. And even though we sat here and truth be told, I don't think a lot of people were overly thrilled. I think people were looking forward to certain matches. I think people were looking forward to that main event with Marufuji and Okada. But I think by and large, the buzz on King of Pro Wrestling was, I don't know, maybe it was
lukewarm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, usually you provide me with feedback on how people are talking, you know, and what the scuttlebutt is and the buzz is online. And I really didn't hear much.
Well, look, I mean, I do a New Japan podcast. I don't know if you know that.
Really?
Yeah. I know. Wow. It's crazy. And I wasn't that stoked for this show.
I was. You know, it's weird because on paper, you know, the matchups and the talent that's involved, there was a lot of good stuff there. I think the thing that hurt the most was the fact that
the Gorillas of Destiny were on the card.
Well, and the fact that we kind of figured they were taking some gold home with them.
They sure did.
But I think by and large, the results were sort of predictable.
Yeah,
right?
that was my issue going into this. I mean, Okada versus Marufuji. Well, obviously, they're not going to have Marufuji win the IWGP heavyweight title. That's not going to happen. And, you know, Goto versus Omega, forget about it. I don't even need to say anything.
Well, you texted me, young man.
I texted you? I don't text you.
You electronic text messaged me. And you even said, mark my words, that Goto was winning.
Did I say that?
You absolutely fucking did.
I must have been really heavily sedated. Cause
look,
I had a cold last week. I was feeling very under the weather. I was on a lot of meds. So that may have played into that outlandish statement that I texted you. So I apologize.
All right. Well, no need to apologize. But again, you did go with the hot take of Goto taking this and taking I'm scrolling through my text. I've gotten to Dave talking more about his abs.
they disappeared, by the way.
Hot takes about Matt Sydal, Voices of Wrestling and Dollar Shave Club Promotions, which is very good for them. Here it is. October 6th, Colin, at 11:50 a.m. So you're at work while you're heavily sedated. I just want everyone to know. Hot take, Goto is taking this briefcase on Monday. I should have taken this. I'll bet money on it.
What? I want to see that. I don't even believe that exists.
I'm fucking screenshotting this dog right now.
I have no memory of that.
And then I text back, well, why not just have Goto win G1? And then, to further the story of him never being able to win the big one, people are going into KOP thinking, Goto isn't going to win this. What a joke. Blah, blah, blah. There you go.
Wait a second. This is from October 6th?
Yeah, Thursday, October 6th.
Oh, boy. I hate to say this, but that wasn't even when I was sick.
So, yeah. I mean, like I said, it was like at lunchtime. Like I was going to lunch.
Look,
driving.
Look, sometimes I say things. Sometimes I will text you things just to kind of, you know,
rile me.
Yeah, yeah. Poke the bear. I like to poke the demon. You know.
Wow. All right.
I don't mean for it to sound
sexy,
derogatory.
Look.
I like to get a rise out of you.
I know that. But look, it's somebody had posed this scenario to me of, you know, if Goto wins, he gets, I don't want to say revenge on Okada, but he breaks away from Chaos. This is kind of his redemption story. He goes on to the dome, faces Okada. Yeah. To me that's not interesting to me. I'm perfectly okay with Goto losing. And again, getting back to our original point, I think that's where the problem lied going into this show of the results seemed, I don't want to say that they were kind of spelled out, but I think people felt comfortable in knowing who was going to win. That took a little bit away from the show going into the show.
But when the matches started,
yeah, that's
a whole different story.
Right. And again, that's where sometimes we make the mistake in saying, hey, you know what? If you look at this show on paper, there are some talented motherfuckers on this show and they have the possibility of having great matches. Again, it's that analogy of, oh, filet mignon again. Great. Right. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that we get spoiled and I think that we are
wild-caught Alaskan salmon with a dill glaze.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm talking about, Colin, you know, but I think that, you know, again, I think that we are spoiled somewhat when it comes to some of these big shows, and if the lineup is not completely new and revolutionary and nothing that we've seen before, a lot of us are really quick to fucking roll our eyes and hand wave, And I don't think that's fair. And I am guilty of it. But I went into this a little bit more excited than you. I know that. And that's fair, again, because of the finishes. All right, so let's get into it. These takes are going to be somewhat lukewarm, but blame New Japan, kids. That's not, what we can only do what we can only do.
So let's talk about this pre-show. First of all, this was to promote the new anime series, Tiger Mask, The Return of Tiger Mask. And this match was a Tiger Mask W taking on Red Death Mask. Now, I'll be honest with you.
Go ahead.
Had I not read online that this was Kota Ibushi, I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have suspected anything until he did that triangle moonsault in the corner. I wouldn't have known because he didn't wrestle
really?
Like Kota Ibushi.
He didn't, but I got. And this is as weird as it's going to get here on the Purecast.
I know where you're getting at.
I knew because I knew his body and his and his. I don't want to say his nipples, but his nipples.
Somebody tweeted us that actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Who did? Who was that? Who was that maniac?
Oh God, I'd have to.
I mean,
go back here on the timeline, but yeah,
that's how I knew. Yeah, I mean,
it was Gaming Gumboot.
Gumboot.
He said, and this was 6 days ago. He said, hoping there's some do the nipples match discussion on this week's HeroCast.
Well,
and then he posted a photo. He posted a side by side comparison of Ibushi, his upper body, and this Tiger Mask W's upper body.
Well, listen, we should be, we could solve murders this way. Me and the Gumboot. Gumboot, bring out the nippleizer. I don't know what that would mean. Some type of device that would scan a nipple. I don't know. That's how I knew it was him. When he came out, like, I was just like, at first I didn't believe it. Like, I was just like looking and I was like, that can't fucking possibly be. And then, he's hitting the spots. Yeah, the triangle moonsault to the floor. And
standing moonsault.
He does standing moonsault. And then he does the slap, slap, kick, kick, thing that he does.
Yep.
How fucking great is Kota Ibushi, man? He is.
This is right up his alley, by the way, I think.
I mean, like, you talk about people with a crazy year. Look at the fucking year Kota Ibushi has. From wrestling in Evolve, wrestling a crab at Kaiju Big Battle, the Cruiserweight Classic, and then he has the balls to walk into New Japan and be like, well, I'm going to work, but I'll be your Tiger Mask for the night. That is so fucking great. Like, that is a guy who gives no fucks. Love him. How fucking great is that?
It must have been hard to wrestle in that headdress.
Yeah, that thing was clunky, and he was always tugging at it and always kind of readjusting it and shit. And of course he's trying not to work Kota Ibushi style. And even Juice.
Yeah, Juice Robinson as Red Death Mask. I did not know that.
You could tell by his. This is. I feel really weird, but you could tell by his chin. Like, if you looked at his chin, because I was looking at it too, because it didn't hit me at first. Like, I'm looking. And I was like, for some reason, and the body type is not right, but the costume kind of made him. And this is totally off base, so you can laugh all you want. I don't care. But I thought it was Rocky Romero.
Ah, okay. Well,
but
he was much taller.
Yeah, exactly. But then I'm checking. I said, what am I looking at? And then it was the chin. The chin gave it away for me. How did he hide his dreads?
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, how did he hide his dreads?
Maybe
see,
gone.
these are all the things that the mysteries of pro wrestling. Like, I want to know these things. And like, did they come to him? Like, did somebody come to him or did he volunteer?
These are all good questions that,
like, I don't
have the answers
this.
To.
Right. I want to know this. Like, how does this happen? Like, does somebody come up to him and be like, we want you to be Red... What is it? Red Death?
Red Death Mask.
Yeah. Okay.
He's the leader of an evil faction on the Tiger Mask anime, which also features, by the way, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kazuchika Okada, Togi Makabe.
Yeah.
Come on.
Listen, have you watched any of that?
I have not.
No, I'm not sitting there watching it. I'm a grown man. I'm not watching cartoons.
Well, this kind of was a cartoon, what we watched here in the pre-show. I mean, for a second, I was like, wait a minute, am I watching Chikara World, or is this NJPW World?
Yeah, it was weird. It was, well, listen, easily you could hand wave this match and say, you know, whatever. But the interesting aspect of this is, holy crap, it's Kota Ibushi, and what does this mean? You know, apparently this is just a one-off. He's not doing the Tiger Mask gimmick. But again, I just think it was just one of those situations where if you didn't expect it, you didn't see it coming. When you're seeing it, you're watching it, and you're like, wait a minute, that's fucking Kota Ibushi. He's wrestling in a New Japan ring, but in literally the most wacky scenario you could possibly think of for Kota Ibushi to be wrestling in a New Japan ring, he's doing it. But it's, you know, it's kind of par for the course in the year that Kota Ibushi's had. The match itself was, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't. I think it was just good in the sense that both guys wrestling a match, trying not to be themselves.
Yeah,
I think that was the most, biggest takeaway that you could take away.
Tiger Mask W wins with the Tiger Driver on Red.
Now
Death
I heard
Mask.
It was. Yeah, I heard it was not pronounced W. Somebody said it was pronounced Dub or something. I don't know. I know everybody's saying W because in the English, you know, they're showing W, but I don't think that's how it's. Yeah, I don't know
Kevin
what it
Kelly
is.
Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino were saying W, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
I trust their judgment.
I'm saying W, but I think it's something different, but who cares, right? Okay.
I would like to see Kota Ibushi enter the G1 next year as Tiger Mask W, win, and then take the mask off at the end. And it'd be like, oh, it was Kota Ibushi all along. That's my booking idea.
It's pretty good.
I think so.
You should write to New Japan. I think they'll fire away with that idea.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, let's talk about the first official match here. We had a six-man tag featuring the team of Tomohiro Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Will Ospreay with his cool new striper gear, taking on Adam Cole, Bad Luck Fale, and Yujiro Takahashi.
Well, I think the people that were in this match were there to serve purposes. One, Will Ospreay was there to do his limited yet still exciting spots, right? In a safe six-man tag to open a show. To me, it's disappointing, but I understand why we're doing it, right? I understand why we're putting that scenario. For Fale, it's let's be a big monster. Let's be, he seems like he's been in this position a lot, though, Fale, right? How many shows have we seen that literally have been him opening a show, being a monster, getting all his big monster stuff in, and working matches that are very similar to this? Takahashi doing his thing. His Godfather gimmick.
Yep, came out with the girls. And Kevin Kelly, it was funny. He made a comment about, he said that it looked like Easter because all the girls were, you know, they had multicolored outfits on.
The pastels, yes.
Yeah, and then Steve Corino made a comment, like, he said, I don't know what kind of Easter parties you're going to.
Yeah. This is where I like the English commentary.
I love
it. Because I think that they do a good job in situations like this. Because I watched both, and the Japanese commentary, like watching a match like this, I think is made better with the comedy that Kelly and Corino bring, because at least it gives you something to sink your teeth into.
Right.
And this match wasn't horrific, and this match wasn't terrible, shockingly enough.
There was one moment in this match, you know, you were talking about how Will Ospreay is kind of there, to, you know, to get his stuff in, but be in a safe environment. Well, there was a part where all the heels were on the outside, and Ospreay's going for a dive on the outside, and I'm thinking like, he's going to do like a space flying tiger drop or something, and he just did a crossbody. It was just a regular, you know, straight up cross body. And you know what? That's what he should be doing more of that. He should be, you know, saving some of these more extravagant flips, you know, because he does. There is a flip meter, Damon. Just like there's a bump meter, there's a flip meter.
Okay.
And, you know, it's okay. I'm okay with Will Ospreay just doing a straight up old school cross body. Sometimes it worked, everybody popped, and it got the same effect as if he did do a space flying tiger drop or a 450 to the outside. It got the same exact effect, and he saved his body a little bit more. So that's all.
So how was it wearing the United States Tag Team Championship straps, Jim Cornette?
Hey,
talk to me about Mid-South in the 80s. That must have been really cool. What, you're not Jim Cornette?
It was just the thought that I had.
Well, listen, you're
am I
growing
wrong?
Up, Colin. No, I'm in agreement. But I will say this, and I think we would be the first people to start laying the kicks in. When that starts to become the norm, and then we start talking about, well, where's the old Will Ospreay, and where's the exciting Will Ospreay, and Will Ospreay's taking
showing
off of Will Ospreay. No,
I don't think so.
We do that a lot.
I don't think so. No, I was happy when he just did the crossbody. I'm like, okay,
once.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is okay, so let's talk in March and April.
He mixed it up, though.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you're okay with this, because, again, we are the first to lay the boots when we feel the shine is off of somebody, right?
We are. That's true. We've laid the boots to plenty of wrestler and commentator on this podcast before.
We have. But again, we know what we like, and we like to see what we like. But sometimes we don't take into consideration what you just brought up is, hey, you know what? You don't need to do that in a six-man tag opening a show. It's okay. But as long as we're under the understanding of that. And a guy like Will Ospreay, I don't want to say needs to be that flashy guy all the time. But yeah, I'm in agreement in this match specifically of there is no need to do crazy stuff, and he didn't do too much crazy stuff. It was fine.
Yeah, so there you go. That was that match. Ishii picks up the win for his team with a vertical brainbuster on Yujiro. Of course, Yujiro taking the fall. How about Adam Cole, the ROH World Champion, opening up the show here? Does he feel like this isn't a Ring of Honor podcast, of course, but Adam Cole to me doesn't feel like he's their world champion, if that makes any sense.
Doesn't feel like he's Ring of Honor's world champion?
Yeah, it just I don't know.
I mean, I mean to me he's a Ring of Honor guy, and he's always going to be associated in my eyes as a Ring of Honor guy.
That's not what I'm getting at.
Okay, what are you getting at?
I'm just getting at he doesn't feel like a world champion. I don't know.
Okay. Well, he's your guy. You like him better than I do.
Yeah, no, I do. I'm an Adam Cole fan. I think the guy's a star, but I don't know. It was just kind of weird having the ROH World Champion open up the show in a six-man tag. But anyway, I digress. We have to move on here. Second match, we have an eight-man tag here featuring the team of Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Bobby Fish taking on the team of Toriano, Jado, Rocky Romero, and Beretta. And Jado, one of the new GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Champions. How about that?
Yeah, here we sit October 2016. We're talking about that. That's I don't know how I feel about that, but that's for another podcast, mind you. I think the two things that we're looking at here, one, at the end of the day, could it be Makabe and Honma challenging for the GHC tag team titles against Yano and Mara Fuji later down the road?
You know what I say?
What's that?
I say send those guys to Noah. Give Honma and Makabe, give them a break from, and I know that this, you know, this is easy for me to say, since, you know, Makabe is on a lot of their marketing material. Obviously, we were talking about how he's in the new Tiger Mask anime, but would you have a problem if Honma and Makabe went to Noah for a little bit and worked there?
No, not at all. But here's the problem that I have from a Noah perspective. The biggest challenge that Noah has is when they bring in these guys, they make their own guys look like fucking geeks, right? I mean,
right.
That's my biggest problem with the – my biggest challenge right now with the whole Noah, New Japan cross-promotional stuff is that Noah needs to look strong for this to work. And throughout the history of pro wrestling, rarely has that happened where the invading promotion looks strong. In this case – it's just the opposite for Noah. So like Suzuki-Gun and even Yuji Nagata to a certain degree, there are guys that go over there and it just seems like they just run roughshod over the Noah guys. As long I would like to see Makabe and Honma go there and Yano and Marufuji successfully defend the belts. Another thing is that Yano, I mean, Yano's Yano. I mean, Yano is a geek in New Japan. Let's be honest. He's a geek in New Japan. But in Noah, he's
a tag champion.
Yeah. I mean, that people aren't dumb. People aren't stupid. It does make your product look a little, you know, a little bush league when a geek comes in and runs roughshod. But no, to answer your question, yeah, no, listen, I have no problem with them going over there and spicing things up a little bit for Noah. The biggest problem I have right now is, once again, the tag division in New Japan is the fucking dirt worst once again, and we'll talk more about that in a second.
Yeah, hey, we've been getting tweets about that saying, hey, what happened to the joining of the tag belts? And my answer is, I don't know.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Was there ever really that was more our speculation and our wants,
yeah,
more
that
than
was,
anything else.
That was more PuroCast booking than anything, I think.
I think so, too. And again, it kind of got more pumped up with the idea of the Young Bucks challenging the Briscoes, and maybe they would go that route. They ain't going that route.
So Honma picks up the win once again for his team here. This is a reoccurring theme of Honma winning, hitting the Kokeshi on Rocky Romero. Yeah. You know, we've talked about this before. I think that lovable loser character is dead and gone.
Yep. No more of that. I mean, that's done. And I think the other takeaway that I was talking about, so again, the one takeaway, Makabe and Honma challenging for the GHC tag team titles in Noah. But the other one is, once again, they're setting the stage, planting the seeds for the split up of Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero.
Yeah, there is dissension in the ranks. And you know what? I think that this is a good thing because I remember watching the Best of the Super Juniors, and I felt that Trent Beretta, he gave a lot of good performances during that tournament, in my opinion. And he's a guy who I would like to see kind of move up in weight. I mean, I think he's already there. You know,
I think he's the biggest junior. Yeah, he's the biggest junior in fucking history.
Yeah, he's got to be the biggest junior. So here's a guy who I'd like to see move up in weight. I think that he's underrated. I think he's a very good worker. I'd like to see him maybe challenge for the never open weight title. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, my biggest fear would be he's a guy that seems to me could very well get lost in the shuffle.
He could.
Right? So my concern is not the talent, is the fact that there would be a log jam of people in that kind of pecking order. I mean, right now you got, if we're just talking never title, you got Shibata, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Evil, now Go Shizaki.
That's right.
Juice Robinson, you could easily put in that category. So there are a lot of Ishii. There are a lot of bodies that you can put in that never discussion, and we could have this thing booked out for months, if not the whole entire calendar year. I don't know where Trent Beretta would fit in all of that.
Speaking of Go Shiozaki, we're going to move on to our next match here, which continued this NJPW versus Noah rivalry in a special 8-man tag match featuring the NJPW guys, the veterans, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, Yuji Nagata, and our favorite, Manabu Nakanishi, taking on Go Shiozaki, Taniguchi, Nakajima, and Kita Miya.
Well, I loved this fucking match, dude.
Me too.
I thought this was super red hot. Not as hot as, you know, the finish of the previous, where this the whole feud began. But it was hot. I think everyone looked really strong here. And when I say everyone, I'm going to single out our boy Nakanishi, because Nakanishi and Go Shiozaki, when they were beating the living piss out of each other, that was wonderful. Wonderful. And I think Nakanishi, you know, he, again, we like to lay the boots to him. See, in this type of match, this is a perfect Nakanishi match for me.
It is.
Because he's in there with, right, because he could just go balls out for a minute or two and then get the fuck out. And he doesn't have to do crazy dumb shit where he's going to kill himself or another person.
Yeah, he didn't do one cross body in this match.
He didn't need to. You know what I mean? He didn't need to. What he needed to do was stand in the middle of the ring and beat the fuck out of somebody and allow somebody and take the shit too. That's his wheelhouse right now. That was great. That was great. It started out hot. It ended hot. I love this match. I thought this was really, really fun. And again, wasn't as crazy as the brawl before. But for me, the fourth match in, I was totally down and hooked. Actually, you know what? The previous tag match wasn't bad either. But this was kind of like the beginning of, okay, this is going to be a real good show.
Let's talk about Yuji Nagata for a second. Because so often these days in wrestling, it's really hard to blur the lines between reality and fiction. It's really hard for a performer to do that. And Yuji Nagata, when you look at him, doesn't he legitimately look pissed off? He looks like he is legitimately ready to just slap some people across the face and kick some teeth in. Like that's Yuji Nagata is selling this feud like nobody's business.
Yeah, he's doing a fantastic job. And I'm going to be honest with you here, too. I think the Noah guys are doing an outstanding job, too.
Sure.
I think those guys, you know, I joke about it, but, you know, this is the biggest show that they've wrestled in, you know, in front of in months, if not the entire year. So they're super excited and they're super pumped and they want to make this work as much as anybody. So, you know, hats off to those guys as well. Listen, this was 10 minutes of a nice, super stiff, even harkens back to late 90s, big, super heavyweight, kind of beat the shit out of each other matches. Totally down with it. Now, this was the first match that you circled and said, okay, this is going to be a good show.
Yeah, so Go Shiozaki picks up the win for his team with the Go Arm Lariat on Nakanishi. And we certainly haven't seen the last of this feud, and I'm hoping that there's going to be a match on the Survivor Series next month, and Noah versus NJPW, you know, old school elimination match. But
that'd be great.
We'll see what happens there. I mean,
fingers crossed.
That'd be worth $9.99.
That would be to have Nakanishi coming out of the egg. That'd be great.
Moving
what
on,
is this? It's a Nakanishi.
Mean
what are you saying, Nakanishi? What are you saying, Nakanishi? That was the worst thing ever. Oh, that fuck! I remember watching that as a kid live.
Wow.
Oh my God! I wanted to jump off my roof.
And that was Hector Guerrero, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow. It is amazing how like that it's amazing that made the light of you know made air. You know what I mean? Like somebody didn't talk somebody out of this. You can just picture Vince in the back. He's a fucking giant chicken. It'll be great. The egg will crack.
And then as soon as it happened, he grew tired of it.
Oh, the minute it happened, you heard the whole crowd groan. And Roddy Piper was like, is that the gobbledygooker? Like Roddy, like anybody knows what the fuck a gobbledygooker is. Is that a Nakanishi?
Write to them, ladies and gentlemen. We want to see this happen. Petition
for it.
Yeah, I
want to see Nakanishi come out of a fucking egg this Thanksgiving.
Oh, boy. All right. Speaking of amazing, let's move on to the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championship match. The champs, Nick and Matt Jackson, the Bucks of Youth, defending against the new team, Ricochet and David Finlay, who I'll admit I was a little bit iffy about this team of Ricochet and David Finlay at first, but man, I think they're really working well together. I enjoyed the hell out of this match, actually.
I thought this match was great. And I'm looking online and I'm seeing, you know, threes and threes and a half. I thought it was better than that.
Yeah, I thought it was four.
I really thought this was a really fun fucking match. I think Finlay did fantastic. I think the Bucks were outstanding. I think the crowd was into this more than, you know, and again, this might be just Tokyo or, you know, it might just be that they were just looking for this type of match. This match was literally the flip side of a coin, shall I say, of the match that we just saw previous, right? So the match previous gave you the hard-hitting, stiff forearms, chops, we're going to beat the piss out of each other. This was your flippy-do pro wrestling guerrilla Ring of Honor type match, and I loved it. And I think like the match before, it felt like it set the stage for the Young Bucks and Ricochet and David Finlay for them to be able to perform at the level that they did in this match, right? I think because it was, again, you had your salad, and now you got your, I don't know, terrible analogy, but you know what I'm trying to say. It's just a different palate, a different taste. What the fuck am I trying to say, Colin?
I know what you're trying to say.
Come, you know what I'm trying to say? That's what I'm trying to say. What Colin's thinking is what I'm trying to say.
Now, okay, so I said that I was a bit harsh on this Ricochet and David Finlay tag team, but again, I think
is this where we get into the marijuana talk?
This is absolutely where we're going to get into marijuana talk. We have to address the elephant in the room here with Matt Sydal. It turns out that we were right. We had speculated.
It turns out this thing where I said it can't possibly be, it was.
Okay, so basically, what happened is and this is from the Nikon Sports. So Sydal, he was arrested at Kansai, I hope I'm saying that right, Kansai International Airport, September 23rd, after a flight to Japan, and he was allegedly caught with over 2 grams of liquid cannabis. He had that in like a hidden pipe, and that's what happened. And apparently in Japan, they're really strict about their drug laws. Now, I have so much to say about this, but number one, I'm not going to defend Sydal because you're right. That was a dumb thing that he did. He knows the law. He knew the law, and he knew that if he would get caught with this stuff, he was going to get in trouble. However, I think that this addresses a whole other worldly issue to me, because if we're living in a world where you can get incarcerated and locked up for years over a plant that God put here for us to find and use. Are you kidding me? To me, that it's just the most ridiculous thing. And yes, I understand that doesn't change the law. That is their law. But come on, we're locking people up for plants in this world. Come on, people.
Look, that's what their laws and their society and who they are as a people and their elected officials have deemed. Look, there's a guy by the name of Paul fucking McCartney, Colin. You know, he got busted for half an ounce of weed in Japan. He spent 9 days in jail.
And that's
he was facing a 7-year prison. And instead of going to jail, he was banned for 20 years. Paul McCartney. Right?
Yeah, to me, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
Okay, but...
For a plant.
Okay, but that's their... I mean, listen, if you feel that passionately about it, and I know that you do, then you can make a change for that in your country.
Oh, and we're doing that here in the States.
Yep. Hey, look, that's... Whatever the case may be, I'm neither pro nor neg. I don't really it doesn't impact me in any way. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But the bottom line is that if you travel to somewhere else, right, and for whatever reason, whether it's cultural, whether it's you know, just a matter of taxation, whatever the reasons are, I don't think it's anyone's right, unless you are a citizen of that country, to complain about their rules and regulations and guidelines and what have you. In this case, this country of Japan has a zero tolerance policy, and they always have. And whether that changes or not, I don't know. And whether that changes or not, that's not for me to decide or for me to speculate or for me to care about. Now, look, if there are human rights issues, if there are people enslaved, yes, then I think people have a right to fucking bitch and moan. But for marijuana laws, listen, if the rules say you can't have any, you're a fucking knucklehead for thinking that you're going to get away with it. And it wasn't a mistake. Let me make that perfectly clear. This wasn't a mistake. This wasn't, oops, I forgot my socks. This was, I'm going to make a choice and do something that I know that if I get pinched, I'm fucked. He got pinched. End of story.
Yeah, I'm not defending the fact that he, you know, brought a controlled substance into a country. He absolutely knew what he was doing. But let's look at the big picture here. Do you know why he's using marijuana? I think everybody just thinks, oh, he's a pothead. He wants to get high. No, he really banged up his foot in a motorcycle accident. And instead of taking, you know, these pharmaceutical drugs, these chemicals that can kill you, he decided that he was going to take this natural plant that helps him to perform at a peak level and take away the pain. This is a plant. The entire plant is medicine. And to vilify somebody for using this for their own benefit, for their own health, I just think it's unconscionable.
Well, it's illegal. That's why. And guess what? If he's in pain, there are legal methods that he can go about to ease that pain, right? The life of being – listen, whether you agree with it or not, that's what it is. Now, and until those rules and laws change in Japan, then I don't know what to say, right? I mean, that's for them to decide. Now, if here – there is a debate locally or nationally about the legalization of marijuana. Great. Absolutely. Vote. Elect the people that you think are going to make that change and those laws. I have no problem with it. If people are suffering and if they can get relief from it and it's legal, great. But again, the old, well, your argument for him to do this is quite honestly, it's bullshit because it's illegal.
Yeah, right. I'm not defending the fact that he brought it in. That was dumb. He should have known better. But, you know, I'm just defending the I hate when people try and vilify people for using
vilifying.
Oh, I think that people are vilifying him. I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
I think in this day and age that so many people use it that it's look. It is hypocritical that, you know, people will – if people are vilifying, it is hypocritical with alcohol and prescription drugs being so readily available. But again, that's a – trust me, I don't want this to be a – well, listen, you're going to get it. I'm not. I ain't going to watch it.
Hey, that's fine. Bring it on.
Right. But, you know, at the end of the day, while, listen, I agree with a lot of the points that you're making, Colin, in the sense of, yes, it is a natural, it is a plant. I get all that.
With zero recorded deaths, by the way.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
fact.
Okay, I don't know, but I can't comment on that. If it is, then it is.
Do you realize, Damon, that you can when you go to Japan, all right? You like to go to the bars.
Stop peer pressuring me. I'm not going to smoke.
I'm not peer pressuring you.
My mom said not to hang out with you, Colin.
I'm just saying when you go to the bars in Japan, I know you're big. You like your scotch. You like your old fashions. Do you realize that you can go to a bar in Japan? You can literally sit there and drink until you get alcohol poisoning and die, and that's perfectly fine. That's legal. You have the right to do that. You have the right to do that. You can drink as much as you want until you get alcohol poisoning. But
wait. I don't think you could sit at a bar and drink And I think the bar, I mean, I don't know for a fact, but like,
you can buy alcohol and bring it back to your hotel, right?
I drink it forever. Yes, you can
right.
do that.
Exactly.
Yes.
You can kill yourself with alcohol, but
yes,
but this plant, which you can't overdose on, they're going to lock you up for 20 years. It just doesn't make sense.
But again, I think it's more, we're talking about something. And again, if we're talking about here in the United States, great, we can speak on that and the way that we live our lives here. I don't know. We're speaking – this could be a cultural thing, Colin. This could be a religious thing. This could be a
– You're right.
There are many different things that could be interwoven into the decisions for them to have a zero-tolerance policy. I can't speak to that, and I won't speak to that because I really don't know. Can you drink in Japan? Absolutely. Is it part almost of their culture in the sense of, you know, after work and, you know, they have there are some obligations that you drink and be social with coworkers, and then finally your guard is let down? Yes, you can read about those types of cultural things in Japan. Listen. Did I personally see the salary man, puking, at the train platform? Yes, many times. Late at night, there was one train ride where there was at least four different guys that were puking on the same platform.
And guess what? If they were taking marijuana, they wouldn't be puking.
Okay, again, yes, but for Matt Seidel, the bottom line is, Colin, for Matt Seidel, you knew the chance. Well, listen, you knew the ramifications. And now, he's not Paul McCartney, right? So, again, I gave you the Paul McCartney example to give you some perspective of the fact that they don't fuck around with this, right? And the fact that Matt Seidel compared to Paul McCartney is nobody. So he fucked himself.
I agree, but in your opinion, okay, let's say Damon McDonald's in charge. He's making Damon McDonald's world dictator, all right? I'm making you world dictator, Damon. You have authority over every country in the world.
Mm.
Are you going to lock Matt Seidel up? Are you going to ban him from Japan for 20 years for a plant? Are you going to do that?
No, but I'm not. But,
exactly. Because you have common sense.
Colin, you can't go out on a fucking limb and say that. Listen, they're doing their own thing, and just because Matt Seidel can't go in the fucking country and pro wrestle, tough shit.
I hope that he makes a ton of money here on the indie scene. If he can't go to Japan, I hope he gets his medicine.
There's no way he's gonna make as much money here. Yeah, okay, where's he gonna thrive?
Well. He's not going to.
Where?
There's one place he can make a lot of money, but he ain't going to thrive.
Well, he can't because he already got fucking pinched for that.
Yeah.
For the same fucking reason. Right?
Well, I don't know what he got pinched for there.
He got pinched for that.
No, it's just a fine there.
Well, no. Are we talking about WWE?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's why he's not there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I thought it was something else he was taking.
He burnt that bridge, right? He's not going back there. And especially with this, right? So where is he going to make this money? No, he made a mistake. He can't go to Dragon Gate. Can't go to DDT.
Well, I just think it's horrible that he's being vilified for using a plant that will ease his pain. And guess what? These pharmaceutical drugs, they're not going to help him at all. They're not. They don't do anything.
Listen, I'm not vilifying him for anything other than he made a very, very poor choice.
We agree on that. He should have known better, but I disagree with. Well, let's move on because we're not going to get anywhere with this with the great Seidel debate here.
All right, good.
I can't wait for it to turn into
the McLaughlin group with the fucking tweets that we get.
Hey, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not reading them.
I'll read every single one. I'll respond to all of them.
I know you and Jesse Ventura.
Hey, you read his book, Marijuana Manifesto. on Amazon.com. Anyway.
I'd rather put a bullet in my head. All right, good.
You hate being educated. For the IWGP Tag Team Championship, we have the champions, Jay and Mark Briscoe, defending against Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. Look, we knew it was going to happen here. Ring of Honor is not going to let the Briscoes be in Japan for the World Tag League, you know, final battles in December. So we kind of saw the writing on the wall here. As for the match itself, I thought it was fine. G.O.D. won with their finisher. Guerrilla Warfare, they're calling it.
Yeah. Listen.
Two-time champs now. It was all right.
Yeah. I don't think it was... It was the best G.O.D. match I've seen. And I think a lot of that has to do with Mark and Jay, right? There were a couple innovative spots with the Doomsday device and catching them in the air and all that stuff. Look, we've said it 1,000 times what we think of this tag division. You know, and unfortunately, our worst fears have come true. And unfortunately, as we'll find out later in the evening, after Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa win these belts, doesn't look like our dream scenario of Ishii and Goto are happening either.
No, it looks like it's Ishii and Yoshihashi.
Which is okay, but come the fuck on. Again, why does New Japan hate the fucking tag division? Why do they do this to us? I don't get it. But that being said, this was a decent match. It wasn't tremendous. It wasn't great. It was decent. But I will say here and now on the 16th of October that this was the best GOD match that I've seen, which, you know, 3 stars.
I'll give this 3 stars.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're looking at. And truth be told, if we put this same match in with somebody else, like if we put G.O.D. in there with, I don't know, pick a team, I don't think it would be half as good, because I think Mark and Jake Briscoe go out of their way to do everything in their power to make matches good. They work their fucking asses off. We'll see what happens, man. This tag situation is dire, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon.
Yeah, hats off to the Briscoes for always, like you said, working their ass off. G.O.D. 2-time IWGP tag champs now.
Yeah,
what can we say?
Wrestler of the year. Who's going to be tag team of the year?
Oh, my God. The good thing about that category is that we can group the junior tag teams with the heavyweight tag teams. There's no distinction between them in our year end awards. That's right. What we did last year. So
who's tag team of the year?
Ricochet and Matt Sydal.
Matt Sydal does drugs.
He doesn't do drugs.
Are they my tag? Are they the number one?
Yeah, for me they're number one. Especially now.
I don't even think there's been great tag. I don't know, maybe Bucks? That's a tough one, man. I might go with the six-man. I'm going to go with six-man.
I'm going to go with Kojima.
Right.
who are the Never Trios
right
champions
now?
Right now?
Oh, fuck.
It's Finley.
Ricochet.
Finley,
Ricochet, and Kojima.
Kojima, okay. Let's go with them. They're tag team of the year. How about it?
Tag team of the year. Sounds good to me. I love it.
But next match is an 8-man tag featuring Hiroshi Tanahashi, Michael Elgin, Kushida, and Jay Lethal taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Well, I think we know the big takeaway from this was Mike.
Yeah, big Mike. Naito gave him that low drop kick and screwed up his eye.
Screwed up his eye, broke his face.
His orbital bone.
Yes, he had a what was it? A blowout. That's what they call a blowout. We were texting back and forth, me and Eric and Mike, and he got surgery in Japan.
Yeah,
which I
heard.
Thought was kind of weird. Yeah, I thought that usually what they'll do is they'll fly them back and then they'll do the surgery in the States. Mike wanted to come back. I think Mike knew he wasn't coming back for. His defense, or excuse me, his challenge for Naito's Intercontinental belt. They were obviously trying to build for that for the power struggle. He kind of knew that that wasn't going to happen when he knew he had to get surgery, but he knew he wanted to get surgery super quick. And going back and forth, it was like he's targeting to be back by the World Tag League.
Right.
That's his goal.
And I imagine he would be teaming with Tanahashi.
Probably. I'm going to be surprised. But that's his goal. We'll see what happens. Apparently, the surgery was successful. Apparently, he's still in a Japanese hospital as we record this.
Wow.
It was a major surgery. During the match, you could see him grab his face, and he's constantly rubbing his eye, And after the match, you know, how everybody's in the ring and everybody's kind of doing their shit, he's talking to Jay Lethal, and you see the camera on him, and you see him mouth, "I can't see out of my eye."
That's got to be scary.
I mean, look, if you follow him on social media, he is, you know, he's very passionate about, as rightfully he should be. He's a father, mind you. It was a young kid, right? I think his name Jax, is it?
Jax.
Yeah, so he's, you know, imagine sitting in that ring thinking, "Holy shit, I can't see." You know, and even though it was one eye, you get my point. You know,
yeah,
how fucked up that can be in the ring. You're freaking out inside. Luckily, from what I understand, vision is back. That's normalizing. I can't imagine how that's going to heal. I think he's got to target the dome. You know, that's got to be his goal, the dome. I don't think he's going to be back for the tag league.
Yeah, he shouldn't rush something like that either.
That's a face fracture. I mean, that's either got to heal or it doesn't heal, right?
I'll tell you what, sorry for interrupting you, but I just wanted to compliment the Japanese healthcare system there. The fact that he was able to just get assessed and get surgery. Could you imagine here, like if he came back here in the States, oh my God, he'd have to be referred to this doctor, and then they're going to refer him to that doctor. Then they're going to set a date for surgery months down the road. Like, you know, he would have had to jump through so many hoops here. You know, they assess it, get the surgery done.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I can't wait for your hot takes on what we're going to do about ISIS. You should be running for office, Colin, with this podcast.
Hey, Jesus Christ. Don't think I haven't thought about it.
No, I'm sure you have. Look, yeah, I mean, I'm very glad that he got in. I don't know how that works. I don't know I don't know if it was emergency surgery or I don't know. Who knows? But yes, it was taken care of. And apparently the food is tremendous, according to Mike. Just
nice.
The portions aren't big enough. Everything's good there. There's nothing bad that's there. They keep all the law-breaking drug addicts out. It's good stuff.
I'll tell you what.
Japan's my place. Look.
Elgin picked up the win here, which is interesting, because I guess that they were building for that Elgin-Naito rematch at Power Struggle.
Yeah,
which,
but again,
truth be told, kind of... I wouldn't have been very excited for that rematch, I'll be honest with you.
No?
No.
I think that would have been very good. Well, now you got Jay Lethal Naito.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I'm kind of more into that just because I know it happened, but I didn't see it. I didn't see that match. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But again, we have another obvious finish. Jay Lethal's not going to win the IWGP Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
I would agree with that. I think... You know, we just talked about houses and draws and getting asses in seats. How do you think this one's going to draw? They don't know who the fuck Jay Lethal is, man. And listen, they might know who he is, but he's nowhere near the level of popularity and notoriety as Michael Elgin.
Yeah, and this is in Osaka too.
Yeah. How do you think that's going to draw?
I don't know.
That's a struggle. That's
a power struggle.
You know, and here's the thing. If it does well, that's Naito. So that's a feather in that guy's cap. I mean, that's going to be on the back of Naito. Because Jay Lethal isn't selling tickets.
So Evil takes out Kushida after this match, gives him a chair shot. Poor little Kushida, taken out on a stretcher.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
There are people that were like, he's really hurt. I was like, no, he's not really hurt. He's working it. So, yeah, he went out on a stretcher, and that was that, and he sold that, and Bushi did the code breaker, and Lethal and Tanahashi were taking a powder and all that fun stuff. So, yep, that was that. Decent match. Good match.
Yeah,
fine.
Decent match. Yep. Next match for the NEVER Openweight Championship, we have a very beat-up Katsuyori Shibata defending against Kyle O'Reilly in a match that... if I was going to take one of my MMA buddies who would have never watched pro wrestling before and sit them down and say, hey, you might find this kind of cool, this would be one of those matches that I would show them.
Yeah, show them this match, because this match was fucking great. 20 minutes, gave him plenty of time. I thought not only was O'Reilly just absolutely tremendous in this match, it's the real small, subtle things that he does in matches that I really, really enjoy. Again, just getting out of maneuvers and getting out of holds and the submissions, it's fucking great. He really is one of the best. And to me, you know, in any other day and age, I really think Kyle O'Reilly would be like a star of a promotion. You know what I mean? There's just so much good talent there that it's hard for him to break out. But with that being said, he's breaking out of the that junior, you know, Tupperware container. He's breaking out of that, you know, junior certain level that you can only be. Like, he's breaking out of that. He's gonna be a star next year, man. How can he not? Like, he's already a star, but how can he not just take that next level? He's so fucking good. And you know who else was tremendous during this match?
Who?
Bobby Fish.
Oh yeah, on the outside, you know.
Yeah.
Coaching him on like this is a shoot fight.
Yeah, that added an extra level to it. And of course, Shibata, who's just a beast. He's a cyborg at this point, you know.
I was very concerned watching him in this match. I really was.
Me too. He had no right being in that ring, but he did it. He's an adult. He made those choices. God bless him, because he did tremendous as well. And I think the end was very telling, where Shibata gave, you know, Kyle O'Reilly the big time rub, you know. The handshake, the hugs, the hand raisings. I think that was significant. I think the significance of what transpired in the last 5 minutes of this match, then the finish of the match, then the that, you know, kind of, you know, acknowledgement and I don't want to say torch passing, but handshake and pat and accepting of Kyle O'Reilly at that level, at that NEVER Openweight Shibata type level, and then all the shenanigans that happened afterward. Two very interesting things that happened afterward.
Yeah, so we had kind of a swerve here where Goshi Ozaki comes out, and we think that he's going to make the challenge to Shibata, but then from behind, the evil attacks Shibata.
Yeah, so I think we're going to get Shibata and Go on a Noah show.
Yes, we
which
are.
Which is a little disappointing. I would like to see that.
I think that's going to take place on the 23rd, I believe.
Okay, so that will. I don't know if that'll be a New Japan World show. I don't know. I'd be curious to see. I hope so. I hope everybody can check it out.
It's going to be on the WWE Network, I hear.
I hope not. I'm actually thinking about canceling mine.
I thought about it too, actually.
Yeah, I don't think I've watched it once in a month. Anyway, so you have that to look forward to, and then Evil making a splash and attacking Shibata, laying him out, grabbing the belt.
We're going to see that at Power Struggle.
And again, that kind of ties into Evil when he beat Shibata during G1. So there you go. They went that way. I thought this was a tremendous match. what kind of snowflakes you throwing out here, Colin?
Oh, you want me to throw snowflakes, huh?
Yep.
You know, I don't like to do that, Damon, but I'll give this a solid 4 snowflakes.
Oh, I'm going higher than that.
Oh, really? You're going to go, what are you going to go, well, like 4 and... Yeah,
I'm going 4.5.
Okay, you're going 4.5. Yeah, I did give the tag match, the junior tag match, 4. So, okay. How about this? How about this?
Don't give me a quarter. You're going to give me a quarter.
I'm going to give this 4.25 stars.
All right. Jesus Christ. All right. So it's a smidge better than the tag match.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was at least a half a star better than the tag match. I thought this was a great match. Do you think this will be talked about come year end? Do you think people are going to put this on for their match of the year?
An interesting question, because if you're asking me that,
I'm asking you that.
If you're asking me if I'm going to put this in my personal, am I going to vote for this match? No. Will people be talking about it? Yeah, probably. Sure.
Yeah. Do you think it's warranted?
In my opinion, no.
No, it's not. It is not in match of the year realm, but you wouldn't be surprised if people did vote that way.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we're gonna have to do some serious discussions about what matches we're gonna be putting in that category this year, because God, we've got so many to choose from. I think there's gonna be at least 20 nominees.
It really is. That's gonna be the hardest one, actually.
It is.
I'm giving it 4.5. I thought it was tremendous. And
are you going for like a match of the year candidate? If you have to think about it, then the answer is no.
The problem is that there's so many. You know, there's so many.
There's so many that we've forgotten about that happened early this year.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about this particular show. And lastly, these two matches with Kenny Omega and Hirooki Goto and Kazuchika Okada and Naomi Marufuji.
Yeah, so let's...
These two... That's tough, because these two matches were better than that match, I thought.
Yeah.
Right? And which means that it has to be better than 4.5 stars, right? It's got to be better than 4.5, because I'm giving 4.5 to O'Reilly and Shibata. How many matches have we had this year? And again, let's just go – if you can go off the top of your head, right – those are the matches that we're going to talk about at when it comes to match of the year, right? So we're talking Dome, right? We're talking Tanahashi Okada, right? Fair enough, right?
We're talking AJ versus Nakamura.
Okay, absolutely. We could put that in there. And if you wanted to, you want to put in Ishii and
that was my favorite match on the Dome show.
Okay, fine. I would have no problem that being in the conversation. So there's 3 right out of the gate. Boom. And again, I'm just going willy-nilly. I'm just going random, bop, 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 bop. What do you think? New Japan Cup? Naito?
New Japan Cup, Naito. Which match? Ishii?
Ishii.
I don't know he had 2 Ishii matches this year, so that's going to be interesting.
Okay. But again, I think that can be in the conversation, right?
One of his matches with Ishii is going to be in the conversation. I don't know which one.
Okay. Fair enough. G1, Omega... Naito.
Omega Naito, absolutely. Okada Tanahashi, absolutely. Goto Omega.
Yeah. Okay, so there's 3 right there. Ishii Okada, G1.
Oh, that's my match of the year.
I mean, but seriously, we're not even trying and we're just popping off matches.
Well, how about Best of the Super Juniors tournament? Ricochet versus Osprey. I was going to say Seidel. Yeah. I'm thinking about Matt Seidel today.
It's a polarizing match, but I guarantee you it's going to get talked, right?
Yep.
There's so many matches, and now we got 2 back to back here that I'm sure are going to be in that conversation as well. So literally, we have 5, 6, 7 matches that are probably, and again, maybe 1 or 2 are you know, with a little wiggle room, 4.5 stars or better. Fuck me. How are we going to do this?
I don't know. I was hoping you were going to have an answer to that.
You know what I mean? But that's a great problem to have. But
not when you're doing an award show.
Listen, here's the thing. We'll do the nominations, obviously, and the listeners vote. But it's an amazing fucking thing how this is going to pan out. Like, how is that going to, like, who's going
to
win?
I think that the listeners might need to do the nominations and vote.
But here's the thing. Without even trying, though, we have 7. What, are we going to have 20 nominations?
There's going to have to be at least 20. I'm not even joking.
I think there's – I guarantee you there's at least 10. There has to be at least 10. That's going to be tough. All right,
20.
So let's talk about this. Omega and Hirooki Goto.
Omega versus Hirooki Goto.
In a match that you did not care about. In a match that you were not interested in. In a match that you kind of were like, oh, what the fuck?
And by the end of it, I was jumping out of my seat.
There you go.
At the possibility that, oh, Goto. I mean, the way that he was fighting. Goto was countering everything.
Well, Goto starting out. Goto started out a house of fire, right?
He did. He did.
Beating the shit out of Omega, throwing him outside, DDTing him everywhere, you know, fucking destroying the briefcase.
Hitting him with the briefcase.
Yep, yep. Look, I understand that a lot of people going into this didn't think there was a snowball's chance in Hirooki Goto winning, and that takes away from the match. This was arguably let's get right to it. Was this better than their G1 match?
I think that I'm not going to say it was better, but it was definitely as good as their G1 match. It had a different flavor to it, if you will, this match. I think it was as good, but different.
Okay, fair. That's fair. So what did you give that G1 match?
4.75.
Okay. So, I mean, we're right there. We're literally scraping an ass hair away from 5.
Actually, I probably gave it 5 at
the
time.
Did. I know I did.
If you go back and listen, I probably said 5.
Yeah. So this dude, honestly, to me, this was 5. This was a fiver.
Wow, Damon's giving this a fiver.
I mean, listen, if you feel fives. You feel fives. I felt it during this match. I really enjoyed this match a lot, and I did see some reviews of it, not really giving it the love that I think it deserved. I'm looking at you, Rich Krejci. look, I think this was fucking tremendous match. And again, you know, here's the thing. The match itself was absolutely great. I could see where people shaved off that and not made it a 5-star because they knew in their heart of hearts that there was no fucking possible way Goto was winning, even though there were plenty of near falls and you know, Goto's hitting his big moves and Omega's kicking out. And Goto kept wiggling out of that one winged angel. Pretty fucking amazing until, you know, Omega finally fucking hit it.
And I was rooting for him so much too. I wanted Goto to win this one. I really did.
Really?
I did.
Ah, I'm looking so forward to Kenny Omega and Okada. I am looking so forward to that match.
Oh, that'll be tremendous.
But here's the thing. Here's Kenny Omega once again putting on a performance that is Wrestler of the Year-like. An amazing, amazing performance, I thought. One of his best. And again, I'm giving it the 5. I don't know. I felt it at the time. I'm looking at my notes. I'm looking at my notes and what I gave it at the time. And again, it was a week ago. I think this match was tremendous, and I think it was one of the best of the year. And I gave it 5, but I can see where people would miss it by a hair just because they knew they weren't confident that Goto had a chance in this.
I've got to talk about Kenny Omega for a second, and Damon, I know that you hate when I use Western wrestling references, but I'm going to do it anyway because
not as much as I hate when you use pot references.
Because I don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
I have to say this. When Kenny Omega, when he's selling, I see Shawn Michaels. I see so much Shawn Michaels in him when he's selling. He's at HBK level right now.
I think that Kenny Omega, this Kenny Omega is absolutely, like, people this year have really chattered a lot about AJ Styles and the year that he's had. I think Kenny Omega's blown away AJ Styles. I really do. And this is me saying this in the sense of, you know, listen, I can definitely not take the goofy Kenny Omega. We haven't really gotten a lot of goofy Kenny Omega, let's be honest, especially in the second half and the autumn season here. we haven't really seen goofy Kenny Omega at all. We've seen real serious Kenny Omega. We've seen great match Kenny Omega. And to me, he's had a better year. He's a wrestler of the year.
Wow. So you're going to pencil him in. You're going to check that box next to the Kenny Omega for wrestler of the year.
Right now? Yeah. Right now. Wow. Yeah. And here's the thing. Not even right now. So what do we got? We got Power Struggle coming up, right?
Yep.
And then Tag League.
Yeah, and then really, some Korakuen shows in December.
Yeah, there's really not anything that's going to stand out where somebody can make that leap. Maybe Naito, but Naito's got a tough task with Jay Lethal. Now, not to say Jay Lethal is a bad pro wrestler. He's a great pro wrestler. Jay Lethal is very good.
I think that Juice Robinson is going to have a breakout moment right? in the next few months, and I think he's going to be in consideration. That's my hot take.
All right. Well, listen, we love those hot takes, Colin. We love them. Okay, so let's move on. What do we got lastly?
Yeah, we've got the main event here for the IWGP Heavyweight title. Okada defending against Naomichi Marufuji. You know, we were comparing the Goto Omega match to the match that they had at the G1. How would you compare this Okada Marufuji match to their G1 match? I thought that it may have been better.
Yeah, me too. I thought... Look, there's a lot of little subtleties in this match with the Noah angle. Apparently, there were a lot of fans that were in the corner of Marufuji, a lot of Noah fans that were there in sumo. You know, we talked about this a couple shows ago, and I made an analogy with Ric Flair and Ronnie Garvin and how these two used to just literally beat the shit out of their chests and the chops, and it was just brutal stuff. And this was, you know, in the 80s, mind you. There were points where I actually felt sorry for Okada, and you know he was taking it because he's taking it. You know, he is who he is, so he's going to show Marufuji that he can take the best of what he can deliver. And there are a couple after a while, it's just like, oh my God, just unbelievable, these whip-like chops. The spot of the night, though. Spot of the night had to be that pile driver on the ring apron.
Oh, okay. I was going to say there was no need for that. That's really dangerous.
Wow. Listen to you, Dave Meltzer.
I'm just saying, you when you have your heir apparent in Okada, the guy who you are positioning to be the ace of your who is the current ace of your company, and you're having him go out there and take pile drivers on the hardest part. I mean, everybody in wrestling school is told don't take bumps on the apron. That's a stupid thing to do. I don't know, man. That's just if you would have taken that spot out of the match, it would have been just as good.
Nah, that match, that set a tone. That spot, listen, it was a dangerous spot. They're trained professional wrestlers, Colin. I trust that they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I know, but accidents happen.
Oh, listen, accident happens on power bombs. Accidents happen on, you know, sliding through people's legs and breaking an ankle. I mean, it's pro wrestling. Things happen. I think that's a little bit, you know, They're again, these aren't two kids in their backyard, you know, deciding to play pro wrestling. It's
pile drive you in the ring apron, Damon?
No,
no,
certainly not. Right. No, I remember one time on an indie show, they wanted me to take a power bomb, and I was like, there ain't no fucking way I'm taking a power bomb.
We wouldn't be talking right now.
I just know, like for me, like if you said, you know, take a powerbomb on, no, that's dangerous. Okada and Marufuji with this spot, it looks dangerous, but look, I mean, I'm confident that they're fucking trained professionals. Can accidents happen? Absolutely. Did it look fucking deadly? Yep, it did. But all right, you know, I think we're okay. I mean, everybody getting all upset over dangerous spots.
I'm not upset. I was just like, when it happened, I was like, oh, geez.
Well, yeah, that's called pro wrestling. Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't mind. Top rope maneuvers, to me, they're more dangerous. Oh my God, did you see that one thing? And forgive me, because I don't know who it was, but it was like a local indie show where a guy did a moonsault off the top rope to the outside, and the guys were supposed to catch him. And the guy did the moonsault, and he overshot it, and he landed his shin on the rail, and his legs snapped.
Oh,
it was fucking just cringy. I don't even know why I watch that shit. Like, I know it's going to be terrible. Why am I watching this?
Yeah, that's that Sid Vicious spot in WCW.
Oh, that's the worst, isn't it?
That is the absolute worst. But
I mean, listen, was it a dangerous looking spot? Yes. Could it have been dangerous? Yes. But I'm okay with that.
Getting back to the match, though, I just wanted to say that much like the Omega Goto match, where you kind of knew the outcome of it, but like towards the end, I told you I was jumping out of my seat. Same thing with this match. When Marufuji was laying in those kicks and he was laying in those knees, I was jumping out of my seat. I was rooting for him. I was like those Noah people with the banners in the audience.
You're going to be one of the 200 people in Corkin.
Yeah.
It was the Rainmaker spots that I loved. Like,
oh,
Marufuji constantly having an answer for them, whether it be a punch to the face or a kick on the arm or whatever the case may be. I always mispronounce the name of the maneuver that it was Mitsuhara Misawa.
Yeah.
The Emerald Flowensen.
I can't say it either.
But the significance there is that, you know, that was Mitsuhara Misawa's, you know, kind of like his last hurrah maneuver, you know, his I got to put this motherfucker away maneuver.
Yeah. He passed it on to Marufuji.
Yeah, it was kind of, it wasn't like it was like, you know, Gretzky handing the fucking torch to Sidney Crosby, mind you, but it was more. Exactly. Or Mario Lemieux. But, you know, I mean, the
NASCAR?
hockey, ice hockey.
I know.
There was one summer when, or one winter when the NHL was on strike and I had nothing to watch. So I decided I was going to watch NASCAR.
Why would you make the leap, the obvious leap from hockey to NASCAR?
Because I can't stand basketball because I think basketball is so fucking boring. So I would watch cars go around in a fucking circle. Oh, what a mess. What a down period in my life. Oh, I mean, but here's the cool thing about NASCAR. There is something, and here it is, is the technology that they use to broadcast the races is pretty cool. Like, they have, like, the cameras inside the car, and they have, like, all these gauges and shit telling you. Like, I don't know what any of this shit means. You know, it's like, oh, the RPM and the torque and the and I'm like, does it have gas? Can you turn on the air conditioning or something? Yeah, so there you go. There was one fall that I, like I said, there was no hockey, so I was like, oh. Oh, by the way, and as a side note, if you are hockey fans, I'm just going to say one word, and it doesn't necessarily pertain to me or Colin, but if you're a hockey fan, definitely look into something called Lazy Man. Just Google Lazy Man. Your life will change, and that's all I'll have to say about that. All right, move on.
All right, I hope that doesn't link them to some sort of perverse pornography, Dan. Because
no. It's just the you know. Listen,
I've seen your browser history.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. No, it's just a tool to watch hockey games.
Okay.
All right, it's very cool. All right, so there you go. I gave this. Listen, it was five.
Wow, two five star matches. Wow, Damon, I'm kind of surprised. You're very usually it's me who's all willy nilly with the fives. I'm just handing fives out like Oprah.
You'll get a five, and you'll get a five. I felt five.
Wow, if you felt five,
that's why I wanted to do a show. I was like, can we do a fucking show? Because we had 2 5 star matches back to back, and I was like, wow, this doesn't happen all the time. For me, these were fives. Do you think these were ass hairs below fives?
Yeah, to me they were upper fours. I'm not going to give anything here a five.
Okay,
that's
I'm
just
double
me personally.
No problem. I'm double dipping on the fives, and maybe I'm out of my mind, but I'm trying to be like I'm trying to not take away my excitement for it, you know, at the time. You know, because again, it is a week old, and you know, hindsight is 20/20. And you can be like, maybe I was regretting that five, and I was a little over. I'm looking at my notes, and I was gushing over these matches. I was gushing over this show. I was gushing over the second half of the show, and calling it the best second half of a show all year, minus the Dome show.
Yeah, you were texting me saying that it was G1 levels.
I think this was G1 levels. I think, name me a G, beside the finals, but not even the finals, like the semifinal matches, the Okada Tanahashi, the Naito Omega, and then the Omega Goto matches were all fucking tremendous matches. Were those shows better than this?
Were those shows better than this? No.
Yes.
No.
I don't think so. Yeah.
No, this show is all, no, this is going to be a show of the year candidate for sure.
I think so, dude. I think the only second half, again, after intermission, the only thing that rivals it is the Dome. Omega, Goto, Marufuji, Okada, Kyle O'Reilly, and Shibata. Those three matches were absolutely fucking tremendous and an outstanding way to end the show. And then, let's be honest here, even the stuff, the Noah New Japan match, that big brawl was fun. The junior titles, the Bucks and Ricochet and David Finlay was really good. Dude, there was nothing that was terrible. There was nothing that was terrible. That's this show. I think the Dome wins show of the year. This was good. This is going to get a lot of votes.
It's going to be close, I think.
Yep. All right. So there we go. Thumbs up all the way for this show, without question. And again, I'm double dipping fives. I'm throwing fives around. Colin's just a little short, but
I'm about 6 feet tall, Damon. Thank you very much. I mean,
my bad.
You're talking to me like I'm Tom Cruise here.
But yes, there's we are. That's King of Pro Wrestling, kids.
Yeah, excellent show. Highly recommended. Two big thumbs up from the PuroCast. Next week, we've got a Road to Power Struggle show from Corican, which is the start of the Super Junior Tag Tournament. And I just wanted to go over those, at least the Super Junior Tag matches that are going to be on that card for next Saturday, I believe. Next Friday, the 21st. How about that?
Okay.
I don't know what date it is. So we've got ACH and Ishimori, which I really dig that tag team, taking on the Young Bucks.
That should be a great match, man.
It should.
Are you kidding me? That really is. I mean, if you guys can kind of sneak around and look for some of that Noah stuff with ACH and Ishimori, that's a real fun tag team. And with the Young Bucks, I'm looking forward to that one. That's going to be good.
Yep, that's the main event. I'm working my way down the card here. We've got David Finlay and Ricochet taking on Gato and Will Ospreay.
Well,
how about that tag team?
Yeah, we know who's lying down there. All right, good.
And we've got Tiger Mask and Jushin Thunder Liger. You may know him.
Not W, just regular old.
Just regular old Tiger Mask 4 and Jushin Thunder Liger taking on Fuego. I believe he's a CMLL guy.
That is correct.
And Ryusuke Taguchi.
Okay, that's interesting. I know you don't like the luchas.
No, I hate lucha.
I think you'll like this. I think it'd be fine. But I will say this though: prepare your ass for the comedy. Prepare your ass for the comedy.
Oh yeah, and then we've got Titan and Angel De Oro taking on Roppongi Vice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know there are people that enjoy the lucha much more than we do. Titan is one of those guys that comes over for Fantastica Mania, right? So we're familiar with him. We'll see. I can't.
February.
Oh yeah.
I'm already like.
You're already dreading it.
Yes.
Last year's wasn't bad. You didn't like it. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it. I liked it. I thought it was good. And I usually don't. I'm usually like, ugh. But yeah, I thought last year's was, you know, this year's Fantastica Mania was decent. You know, we forget about Kama Itachi and Dragon Lee.
Yeah,
we forget about that match.
That's absolutely going to be in, that's going to be one of the contenders for match of the year for sure, because
it has to. That was a really good match. That was a great match. Everybody fucking forgets that match.
We've got our work cut out for us.
Whew. Yeah.
So those are your Super Junior Tag League matches. Again, that is next Friday, or this Friday, October 21st from Corrigan Hall. So those should be good. And I just wanted to touch upon the Power Struggle card, which is going to take place in Osaka Saturday, November 5th. Thank God it's a Saturday show.
Yeah.
I wanted to go over some of the matches for that. We do have for the IWGP Tag Team Championship, the Gorillas of Destiny defending against Tomohiro Ishii and Yoshihashi. I know we all wish that was Goto, but
yeah, listen, I don't want to. Yoshihashi's had a good year. Let's give him the benefit of the fucking doubt here. But this, I don't think this is going to be great. I'm worried about this match.
And we've got a rematch for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. We've got Bushi defending against Kushida.
What?
Yeah, you echoed my thoughts exactly.
How long are we going to stretch this shit out? All right, next.
We've got Shibata defending that NEVER title against Evil. This could be good. They had a good G1 match. I'm kind of looking forward to this.
Could be good. Big spotlight for Evil. Okay.
Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Sanada in yet another G1 rematch.
That should be good. I'm looking forward to that. Sanada, man, I said this before. That guy's got star written all over him. Like, to me, he is babyface.
He's a guy star. You can build a company around in the future.
Look, he is. I don't know. He's got something about him that I have always kind of thought that he could be that guy. And he just never put those pieces of the puzzle together. For me, this look, this feel, who he is, I think the company thinks that he's somebody that they can build off of. That's what I think.
And then the main event for the IWGP Intercontinental title, we have Tetsuya Naito defending against Jay Lethal.
Look, my biggest concern is just the fact that it's somebody that these fans are not familiar with. And to me, it's Tanahashi Sanada that's drawing this house. Right?
Here's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
You may remember a little match from this year's G1 featuring Okada and Ishii.
Mm-hmm.
Ishii beat Okada, and I thought for sure that we were going to see that rematch at Power Struggle here. So that's kind of interesting to me that they're holding off on that
until
match.
When?
Well, that's the thing. What if Omega wins the title at the Dome, which is a possibility?
Well, I mean, from what Dave's saying, Omega's going to go murder Antonio Inoki.
Yeah.
It's going to be a homicide. Look, I would have, you know, I know they're Chaos members, and I know that that doesn't necessarily jive all the time with storyline, but yeah, I think, you know, why have Ishii win? The one thing that New Japan is not guilty of is, you know, having things count, right? So they are not guilty of not having things count is what I want to say. Double negatives. They do things for a reason is what I'm trying to say. So there's a reason. There's a reason why Okada lost. Okay, we just haven't figured it out yet. But yeah, I would have. I don't know if we're getting that match anytime soon, Colin.
Yeah, I thought for sure that we'd see it at Power Struggle, but there you go. Naito versus Lethal, your main event. And
now, when is that? That's November when?
That is Saturday, November 5th.
Okay, all right. So I'll do the 6th, then I'm out the door. Pew. Going to Australia.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I'll be able to do the show then. I know. Going to Australia, going to Bali.
Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how I pronounce it. That's how I'm going to do it to everybody. I'll be like, hi, I'm glad that I'm here in Bali.
I don't even know where the hell it is.
It's in Indonesia.
Wow, you're going to, jeez.
Yeah. So
what made you want to go there?
My wife wanted to go. Well, here's what, so We're going to Australia, and there's a place that I've always wanted to go, and has always wanted to go, and we have friends and all that fun stuff. So that worked out, and then apparently Bali is like a big tourist destination for Australians. So it's beautiful. I mean, it looks fantastic, and I can't wait. I don't know what the pro wrestling culture is there.
Is there any indie wrestling there that you can check out?
I wonder. I'd like to see. I'll tell you what. We're going to have matches in our pool. We have a pool. We bought it. We did the old Airbnb gimmick.
Ah.
We got a nice pool at the house. There's going to be some pro wrestling matches there. It's going to be good. We're going to have a good time.
You can have the BWF, the Bali Wrestling Federation.
That'd be great. Can't wait. We're all going to be drunk. All right, so that's that. So that's my schedule. I know I promised we would have a date and a time to do like a little meetup thing, possibly. I'll have that next week. We'll have it all finalized next week. So prepare for that, my Sydney and my Melbourne people. You know, you don't know Crowded House, do you, the band?
I know them from you.
Yeah, they're fucking playing a million shows at the Sydney Opera House. Fuck. I'm going to be in Bali then. Oh, so mad. I was like, can we change these fucking plans? Of course we can't. All right, so that's that. There we are. Show's done, right? Colin, we're good?
Yep, we are good. That is a wrap for today, Damon. But once again, we want to thank all of our fans. I know it's been a couple weeks, but hey, we're always back. We always try and deliver at least a two-hour show of PuroCast audio for you. So thanks for all the support. Remember, just go to New Japan PuroCast.com, links to everything there, all social media, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Friendster, Pinterest,
Grindr,
Instagram, Tinder, everything's on there, our RSS feed, the whole bit. You can listen to the shows right on the webpage if you want to. You can also visit voicesofwrestling.com. We're usually up there every Monday afternoon. Subscribe to their feed. They've got some great pro wrestling shows for you, for a taste for every palate, as I like to say. And we're going to be back here next week to talk about this Corican show. We're on the road to Power Struggle. So strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen. It should be a blast. Damon, any final words?
No, I'm good. Thank you all for your patience. We'll talk to you soon.
All righty. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week. Have a good one.